So today I'm going to be talking about Thomas Jefferson and not necessarily what he did for the presidency, although he was a jack of all trades, being the first Secretary of State, the main person responsible for Louisiana Purchase, but mostly it's his other contributions and how the state of Virginia now values him as someone who overcame a lot of adversity in the public eye to kind of accomplish all of this. So Jefferson was born April 13, 1743, in Shadwell, Virginia. He drafted the Declaration of Independence, obviously, and again, he was the first Secretary of State under George Washington and his presidency until 1794, was the main person responsible for the Louisiana Purchase that took place in the early 1800s, the second president of the United States from 97 to 1801, and he died July 4th, 1826, which was ironically 50 years after the signing of the Declaration into effect. He died in his adult home, where he spent most of his time with family, friends, in Monticello, Virginia, which was very close to the bigger town of Charlottesville, Virginia. So I'm going to move on to his early life now. Jefferson was born into an elite family, one of the most prominent in Virginia's. His parents were both planters, and specifically his mother, Jane Randolph Jefferson, was part of the Randolph clan, which was a famous family that had descent of English and Scot royalty. As well as being a planter, his father was a successful surveyor and even a cartographer, going to the extent of producing the first accurate map of the province of Virginia, so that's definitely very astounding. Two very intelligent people, and he was the third of 10 siblings. So there was a lot going on in that household. For fun, Jefferson enjoyed playing in the woods, practicing violin, and reading books, sort of typical of the children at this time. His education was kind of like none other, to be exact. He formally began to study at the age of 9, primarily Latin and Greek at the private school, and by 14 he began to study classical languages as well as math and literature. So he was definitely getting a jump start on his education at a young age. By college in 1760, he goes to William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. This is not an especially rigorous academic institution, although it is the second oldest institution behind Harvard. And his classmates did odd things, and he was very opposed to them, such as betting on horse races, playing cards, and courting women. Jefferson would have none of this and ultimately received his true education from men such as William Small and lawyer George Wythe. And he, especially in his third year at school, began to really, really focus and study law under Wythe. Wythe was one of the best lawyers at the time, and at this time there were no law schools during his time, and as a result, through long, rigorous work sessions, the coursework was almost two times what anything else was at the time under Wythe. Jefferson became very, very successful, and in 1767 became one of the most learned lawyers in America. So moving on now to his time, 1767 to 1774, his practice was in very good standing and excellent, and eventually he married, on January 1st, 1772, Martha Wales Skelton, who had recently been a widow and one of the most wealthy ladies in Virginia. These two would have six children, but only two of them, Martha, the oldest, and Mary, the fourth oldest, lived into adulthood, with only Martha surpassing Thomas Jefferson. And his political stock really starts to take off in 1774. He really pushes for great change in terms of freedom, and especially religious separations and freedoms in the state of Virginia. But great changes at the time were occurring in Great Britain's American colonies, and this was after the French and Indian War. And again, he was a fervent supporter for American independence from Great Britain, because Great Britain was having them pay a lot of the taxes for this war they were promised not to pay. So in 1774, his first major political work was published, which was called The Summary View of the Rights of British America. And I'm going to get into the big thing. Now, this is sort of the meat and potatoes of his life, the drafting of the Declaration of Independence. A five-man crew led by Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence, although John Adams said he was the main person behind it. And he also described Jefferson's first draft as a happy talent for composition and single flarity of expression. So definitely very, very impressive words coming out of John Adams' mouth, who these two maintained a solid relationship for some time until they both eventually died in the late 1800s, I'm sorry. 1777, Jefferson wrote the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, and by this he really wanted to emphasize religious independence and the separation of church and state, and he claimed that this was one of his best accomplishments because it took almost a decade for this to be published and then instituted into the Virginia law. So he really, really pushed for that religious independence, which was lacking at the time in these colonies. But his kind of downfall was he struggled as governor from 1779 to 1781. He couldn't please anyone and eventually had to flee from the British cavalry in 1781. And this was really a moment of cowardice stated by many of his critics. And as a result, he really wanted to give up public life, so he went back to his hometown of Monticello, just kind of went down, relaxed, and he wrote a book stating his philosophies and outlining Virginia as a whole during his time away from the public domain. And like many whites, he was very racial, and he made his opinions known in this work. He also supposedly had an affair with Sally Hemings, who was one of the slaves at his massive estate in Monticello. Moving on to his wife's death now, that kind of led him back to the public domain. His wife's death was September 6, 1782, and eventually he became the minister to France and again became Washington's Secretary of State. He really started to embrace and appreciate the European culture, but when he came back in 1789, he kind of had a renewed appreciation for America, just kind of counting his blessings again, so to speak. When he became the Secretary of State in 1789, he resigned later, yet again, to return back to his home in Monticello. He was really frustrated with the way it was going, especially with Richard Hamilton. Those two really did not click at any point in time during his time as Secretary of State. So to really top this all off, although I didn't talk much about his presidency at all, I talked more about the little things, not really the Declaration of Independence wasn't really a little thing, but how he fought for freedom and overcame adversity of not, we kind of perceive Thomas Jefferson as someone who enjoyed and embraced being in the public domain, public life, was just a man of that character. But he really wasn't, and he kind of, behind the scenes, outside of the Declaration of Independence, fought for freedom, religious rights in Virginia, and did a great job in that. He helped establish the University of Virginia, and he overcame this adversity of his wife's death, his kid's death, and he really, he got out of his comfort zone of not wanting to be in the public domain, and did it, and he did a very good job at it, and a lot of people didn't respect him for what he did as governor, but overall, I think he did a great thing for the state of Virginia as a whole and the United States, because we wouldn't be where we were today without that Declaration of Independence and that sort of religious and intellect that people didn't have at this time.